Welcome back. For those of you joining us now, I'm Ethan Elkind, and this is Your Call's weekly media roundtable. We're podcasting our show, and you can find out more information at kalw.org. Click on news, and you'll find our Your Call program listed there. You can also listen to past shows and subscribe to the Your Call podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have a show idea for us, drop us a line at yourcall@kalw.org. And you can join the conversation today by calling us at 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. Or you can email us anytime or with questions or comments for our segment coming up today at yourcall@kalw.org. And now we're going to turn to Donald Trump's lawsuits against media organizations. Last week, Paramount Global, the parent company of CBS, agreed to a $16 million settlement with Trump in his lawsuit over a 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris that took place during the presidential campaign last year. Now, CBS is just the latest outlet to capitulate on these lawsuits. Back in December, ABC News settled a defamation suit with Trump by agreeing to donate $15 million to his presidential library. So what do these legal actions mean for the freedom of the press? At a time when misinformation is spreading rapidly and press freedom is under attack, what role should the media be playing now? More importantly, are they meeting this moment? Well, to help us discuss and answer some of these questions, we're very pleased to be joined by two guests. First, I want to introduce Monica Bauerlein, the chief executive officer at the Center for Investigative Reporting. Her latest piece, Good Night and Good Luck, writes about why corporate media, including CBS owner Paramount, is bending the knee. So it's good to have you with us, Monica.
Great to be with you.
And we're also pleased to be joined by Mark Jacob, veteran journalist and the former Metro editor of the Chicago Tribune, former Sunday editor of the Chicago Sun-Times. Mark is also the author of Stop the Presses, a weekly about how right-wing extremism has exploited the weaknesses in American journalism and what we can do about it. Mark has called the lawsuit against CBS a blatant act of extortion and abuse of power. Mark, good to have you back with us.
Thank you.
So, Monica, let me start with you. The latest lawsuit and the fact that another media organization has now settled with Trump in a multi-million dollar lawsuit is, of course, news again. And I just wanted to start with the simple question of why these media organizations, and in this case, CBS, are giving in so quickly. What's your take on that?
I think, you know, everybody can guess it's the bottom line. And, you know, it's not that the journalists are wanting to bend the knee. In fact, I think we should, you know, continue to think of all the journalists at these organizations who are doing their damnedest in the face of these corporate pressures. But the corporate owners of these media companies, such as Paramount, are looking at the bottom line. You know, Shari Redstone, who has a controlling, basically ownership of Paramount, really, really wants to sell the company to the to another company that happens to be owned by another corporate media scion, Larry Ellison's son. And the Trump administration has essentially veto power over that sale. And so from Shari Redstone's point of view, it's worth $16 million to consummate that transaction. I think what she isn't thinking about, because that's not what where her focus is that $16 million plus an immense asterisk on CBS's journalism, their reputation, their ability to say, we are going after these stories no matter where it leads, because it's really clear that, you know, if you go someplace that Trump doesn't like, it's going to cost you, and that creates a chilling effect.
And Mark, anything you want to add to that? Do you agree with that take, or anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. The FCC under Trump, the Federal Communications Commission, is holding up that merger, and you know, is really putting a squeeze on a lot of major media. And it is, you know, like many things in the Trump regime, it is, you know, an arm of the White House in a way that politically, it's a political arm. And so the real alarming thing is, and maybe it's a problem just with corporate ownership of media entirely, but especially these kinds of bad owners who care much more about making money than they care about producing good journalism. And one thing that's really important to understand in the 60 Minutes case is that they did nothing wrong. I mean, zero wrong. They, you know, they were editing their own interview, something that television outfits do every day, every day of the week, every hour of every day in the week. They edit their own interviews and put it on the air. There was no attempt to, you know, to mislead. They would have won the lawsuit too. That's the thing. That's why what it really is a shakedown scheme by Trump.
Well, Mark, since you mentioned, can you just describe some of the facts of that case? You talked about the editing. Can you tell listeners who aren't familiar what exactly the issue was about?
Well, I mean, they all right. So this 60 Minutes interviews Kamala Harris, and she gave one answer that was fairly long to one question, and the 60 Minutes or CBS used part of the answer in an earlier show, a morning show, to promote the 60 Minutes piece. They used the rest of the answer on 60 Minutes, but they didn't use the whole answer. And so the Trump people are saying that they were trying to mislead the public by not using the whole answer. They filed under some kind of odd law in Texas about odd interpretation of a law in Texas about consumer fraud. I mean, it wasn't like a defamation case. It wasn't libel. It wasn't anything like that. And so it's this really goofy lawsuit that virtually every expert around says they were going to lose if it ever went to court. And that's the main point is that this was not a valid lawsuit. This was a case of a president who has enormous power over a corporation, in effect just coercing them into giving him money and diminishing their journalistic credibility at the same time.
I appreciate you just relaying the facts for listeners who haven't been following as closely. And Monica, what are the stakes here? If you could just sort of, you know, put this in clear terms for people listening, what are the stakes for the media's ability to hold figures like Trump accountable? I mean, does this go beyond just sort of backroom corruption, economics? How does this affect the media's stance to be able to meet this moment, given what we're seeing on the policy front and the effort to undermine free press?
What it tells us is that ultimately the journalism is subordinate to the profit. It's, you know, we just had this conversation in the first half of your show about Hungary. In Hungary, they took control of the media by essentially buying out the media companies and by turning state television into a propaganda apparatus. I think what we're seeing here is that they don't need to buy them if they can show them that their corporate interest lies in not making Trump mad. And that's a sort of soft internal censorship that happens that we'll never know exactly at what point somebody made a decision that maybe we just don't take this quite as far as we could because who needs another $16 million settlement? That is really the stakes, is that we know that these corporations have an incentive to prioritize profit over journalism. And we saw that, you know, the executive producer of 60 Minutes and the vice president for news at CBS resigned while these settlement conversations were going on, because they knew, and in fact, they had heard from corporate that, you know, we want to see your stories about Trump before they air. And when you hear that from your corporate owners, you know where it's headed.
Well, it's very depressing and alarming. And Monica, I have to just ask you about the FCC role here. They're supposed to have investigated the merger that is a sort of backdrop here. Can you talk about the FCC role and what's really been happening kind of behind the scenes in terms of the economic stakes for Paramount?
Yeah, as Mark said, you know, the FCC essentially investigated, not only is there federal government approval required for the merger itself, but the FCC also opened a separate investigation of this Kamala Harris incident and ultimately got CBS to turn over all its transcripts, which showed, you know, the world that there really wasn't a there. So all of these entities of the federal government are being weaponized to let media entities know that there is a huge cost to making Trump mad. You know, you see the same thing with dragging, you know, the NPR, Catherine Maher, before a congressional committee, with dragging, you know, I'm sure other media executives in front of congressional committees. It's trying to show that to pay a price for journalism that we don't like.
And Mark, Connie referenced our earlier segment on the documentary on what's been going on in Hungary and how Orban and his political party has taken over the media there. And of course, here in the U.S., we're not quite at that same level, but Trump is chipping away now at U.S. press freedom, limiting access to journalists, targeting specific media outlets in their entirety. And of course, these lawsuits and weaponization of agencies that Monica just referenced with FCC and you talked about earlier as well. So what should we expect moving forward in your view? And what would you like to see media organizations do to fight back?
I think that the trend toward nonprofit news media is a good one. I mean, you don't have the same kinds of pressures and you're not owned by people who own a lot of other things. One of the big problems is, for example, Jeff Bezos, you know, the fact that he became much more friendly toward Trump and kind of forced Washington Post, at least on the editorial side, to become more friendly to Trump. He owns big businesses like Amazon and Blue Horizon, and he knew that he was susceptible to being intimidated and for Trump to sabotage his businesses. And so that's why he's going to act that way, you know, with Washington Post. This is a real problem with oligarchs owning media, you know, and that's why you see this row of oligarchs at the inauguration with you know, with Mark Zuckerberg also and Bezos and them, and they're not going to displease Trump because he can hurt them financially. And that's why one of the most shocking things, Ethan, is that the best general news operation covering American politics today is The Guardian, which is based in the United Kingdom. I mean, think about that. Think about that you have to go outside the United States to get news about the United States that you can trust. Mm-hmm. This is a scandal. And yes. And this is what we're seeing. I mean, the reason I emphasize nonprofit is you have some very good outfits that are nonprofit. ProPublica, I'd love to mention. They're very good. Many others. But they're some of the smaller outfits. The big networks like ABC and CBS and the big newspaper outlets. They're steadily being coerced and compromised by MAGA. It's obvious. It's happening in front of our eyes right now.
Yes.
Monica, can I jump in on that?
Yes, please.
I would love to. You know, of course, I thought Mark was going to say the best, you know, journalism about U.S. politics right now is coming from Mother Jones, which is, you know, part of our organization.
Oh, it's great too.
Radio show Reveal. But I couldn't, you know, I'm joking, but I could not agree more that what these settlements are showing us is that ultimately the bottom line for these corporate media entities is the bottom line. I think it still makes sense to put pressure on them and to ask them to be truthful and to vote with your, not only with your dollars, but also with your attention and with where you get your news. But ultimately what we need to do as quickly as possible is build up the nonprofit media sector that has been really blossoming in the US for quite some time. You know, Mother Jones is part of that. We are owned and paid for by our readers and by our listeners and by the people who find us on social media platforms. ProPublica, as Mark mentioned, is part of that. Every city and every town has a nonprofit news outlet. Public media is in that universe and is under threat. Yes. And these are entities that are not owned by anybody except their community. And that's clearly what we need to get out from under an ecosystem where pressure is so easily applied.
Yes. Well, we're speaking with Monica Bauerlein, Chief Executive Officer at Mother Jones, just talking about Mother Jones and the Center for Investigative Reporting. Her latest piece is Good Night and Good Luck, about why corporate media, including CBS owner Paramount, is bending the knee. And we're also speaking with Mark Jacob, veteran journalist, former Metro editor of the Chicago Tribune and former Sunday editor of the Chicago Sun-Times, and also author of Stop the Presses, a weekly on right-wing extremism in the United States and how it's exploited the weaknesses in American journalism. And we want to hear from you. This is Your Calls Media Roundtable, and we want to hear from you, our listeners. Where do you get your news and information from? Do you think the U.S. media is meeting this moment? Are they standing up to Trump and the far-right attack on the freedom of the press? What, if anything, has the media and journalists learned from the first 4 years of Trump's presidency? We would love to have you join the conversation. That number is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. You can also send us an email to yourcall@kalw.org. Again, 866-798-TALK. And Monica, as we're talking about the lawsuit that Paramount settled, I wanted to see if you would talk about a lawsuit that Mother Jones targeted Mother Jones, but that, you know, Mother Jones decided not to settle and decided to fight it, but at great economic cost. Can you talk about what that lawsuit was about?
Yeah, in fact, there were two massive lawsuits that our organization has been dealing with. You know, the Center for Investigative Reporting is the result of a merger between two Bay Area nonprofit news organizations, Mother Jones and the organization previously known as the Center for Investigative Reporting, which produces the radio show Reveal and a lot of other great journalism. And so each of our predecessor entities found itself on the receiving end of these incredibly time-consuming and expensive lawsuits from people who didn't like our reporting. The Mother Jones case was filed by a major Republican donor. Some of your listeners might remember that in 2012, Mother Jones broke a big story about Mitt Romney's remarks about how 47% of the American public were basically loafers and dependent on the government. That had a huge impact on the election. This particular Republican donor was a significant part of Mitt Romney's fundraising operation and sued us a few months later over a different story that we did about him and his efforts to advocate against LGBTQ rights in his home state of Idaho. And this was an interesting case because it was filed in state court in Idaho, where the damages were limited to just under $75,000. So the lawsuit was for $74,999. Because, of course, you are going to probably get a more sympathetic venue in an Idaho state court than you would in federal court. And so we could have settled that case with an admission of guilt. We could have said our reporting was bad. Here's $74,999. But that would, our reporting was truthful. And so we did fight the lawsuit. It cost millions of dollars over multiple years. Some of that covered by insurance, some of it not. It cost a huge amount of time and sweat. But it was really important to take a stand for the truth. And we ultimately prevailed in this state court in this very conservative state because the facts still matter, and they particularly still matter in a court of law. So it was a hopeful story eventually, but had our board not been willing to stand up, had our readers and our community not been willing to have our back, you know, that could have put us out of business.
Well, congratulations on winning that case. And it's really unfortunate that you had to go through all of that and take that economic hit, you know, on top of everything else. Any advice you would have for other media outlets? I mean, obviously Paramount and ABC News before them have gone completely the other direction, despite, you know, what I assume are much greater resources. Any advice you would have for other media outlets that, you know, are potentially going to face similar kinds of harassing lawsuits from Trump sympathetic type elements?
I would say, I mean, this is the depressing part of all this. You know, I think Shari Redstone is not going to listen to my advice, but I think she is actually ultimately hurting the interests of the company by settling this case, because in the long run, the reputation of a news outlet is only as good as its willingness to stand up for the truth. And I think ultimately, you know, as our case shows, You will prevail if you are willing to fight for the truth. And not only that, but people will see that you do that. You know, the Washington Post lost something like a quarter million subscribers after Jeff Bezos made them pull their editorial in the fall endorsing Kamala Harris. That is an incredible number of people. That is an extraordinary economic hit. I don't think if you look at the long term, it's in your best interest to cave. But unfortunately, these are short term calculations that are being made.
Mark Jacob, you know, we're 6 months into this administration. What concerns you the most right now about the state of journalism and the future of journalism as we're seeing the industry shrinking, thousands losing their jobs, and then these kinds of attacks, weaponizing agencies and using lawsuits to chill free speech?
Well, I really have to emphasize the chilling effect of this kind of strategy against the press. And it's so great that Mother Jones stood up for, you know, for the truth. Many don't. And people who are in charge of the finances at media organizations don't want to get sued. They just they would rather, whether they can win or not, they don't want to get sued. And so they would rather not tick off certain people. And that means that you're not reporting on it. And the public will never know the stories that didn't get published because of this cowardice and this, you know, people being afraid of being intimidated by very powerful and rich people who have, you know, tons of money to, you know, to spend, and not to mention Trump, who has the power of the federal government to put on you. And, you know, it's very frightening that this happens this way. And it just there, but for the courage of people in the news media, you know, the public would be snowed. And, you know, I mean, and just to emphasize also that the power that the federal government has, you know, they like kicked the Associated Press out of briefings for few weeks. Mm-hmm. They have the ability, and, you know, they've brought all these kooks in to pretend to be journalists at their briefings. I mean, they are committing this horrible crime against the American people they're snowing him. They're using disinformation. They're lying every day, and they're attacking the people that are telling the truth. And I guess that, just to answer your question, really, you know, after this diatribe of mine, very succinctly, the major news media are not saying that the Trump administration is attempting to overthrow a democracy and establish a dictatorship. And that is exactly what's going on right now. I mean, you can see it, you know, there's evidence here, evidence there. The evidence is everywhere. Yet, and the news media, to a large extent, is reporting these individual pieces of what's going on, but they refuse to say that the enormous and frightening truth that's in front of us, which is the Trump administration is attempting to overthrow democracy.
Yes, that larger dynamic gets lost with these more minutia type stories. I think it's very well put. We have a couple callers. I want to see if we can get to them before we run out of time. First, I want to go to Peter in Florida. Peter, welcome to Your Calls Media Roundtable.
Thank you. The woman, I commented, I love that she used the expression, you know, pay just not only with your money, but with your attention, because the expression pay attention. I've noted that because your attention is your primary resource in life. Where did you pay attention today? Where did you spend time with your attention? And also, likewise with that, you could say, steal my attention. Because your attention is a resource. Yep. So what I do with Trump, I say, it makes it easy for him to steal your attention if you're paying attention. Don't even give him your attention. You know what I'm saying? You got to be so careful.
It's a great point, Peter. And I just want to see if Monica has any quick reactions to that.
Attention is an incredibly valuable resource, and it's ultimately what corporate media needs to exist, what any media, of course, needs to exist. But particularly, you know, if corporate media does not have an audience, there is no business model there. So people have a lot more power than they necessarily realize to direct their attention to the places that serve them best.
Yes. Well, thank you for that. And I want to get our last caller in before we have to break. David in San Francisco, welcome to Your Calls Media Roundtable. What's your question?
Well, thank you very much. First, a quick comment on the prior caller and the response. It's exactly right. I've just finished a terrific book called How to Do Nothing by Jenny Odell, O-D-E-L-L, the subtitle of which is Resisting the Attention Economy. Very much on point. My comment was just overall about this incredibly good, important show. I am so pleased to hear things being said in a straightforward, absolutely correct, factual manner. This is extortion. Don't dumb it down with legalese. Well, these are litigation strategies that some scholars might say, no, forget that. This is mafia boss type extortion, sometimes veiled, very frequently not. I will hurt you. I will destroy you. You should pay the price,
David,
et cetera. And it's so great
to hear. I'm sorry to cut you off. We're just about out of time. I just want to let Mark have the final word on that. Mark, any very quick reaction to what we just heard from David?
Yeah, I love the way David said that, you know, that about this softening of language. The New York Times does it all the time. So like they, like, for example, will say that Trump is flirting with lawless defiance of court orders. He's flirting with things. They're things he's testing the boundaries, or that he strains the bounds of propriety. It's this kind of half pregnant kind of thing where they won't say that he's doing bad things. They're saying that he's almost doing bad things, and it's cowardly. And it's what major media is all about these days.
Well, I'm sorry to cut the conversation off here, but I just want to thank you both so much. We're out of time, unfortunately. Monica Bauerlein, Chief Executive Officer at Mother Jones, and Mark Jacob, veteran journalist, former Metro editor of the Chicago Tribune. Thank you so much for joining on this really critical topic on our media roundtable today.
Thanks for having us.
That is our show. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit our page on kalw.org. You can also follow us on social media and email any show ideas and feedback to yourcall@kalw.org. Malihe Razazan produced today's show. Kevin Vance is our studio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Ethan Elkind, and it's Your Call.